Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this Mothering Sunday. As has already been said, but there's one or two joined us since, we have some sad news today in that Norma Baxter, who has been part of the Joint Baptist and Methodist Fellowship since its inception and has been very much involved in our prayers and services over the last year. Sadly, she died overnight. So we remember her family and her at this time. But we can celebrate her life, and I'm sure that she would wish that we remember her in celebration today on this Mothering Sunday. Now, as part of Mothering Sunday, I asked everybody if they could bring a flower along today, that we would often share a flower in our services. So if you've got a flower, if you can sort of let us all see it as part of that. And I think it is something that Norma would really have liked as well, this sharing of a flower on Mothering Sunday, as we remember her in that. We welcome everybody who's with us today. We've got a couple who are joining us for the first time. So Daisy, very much welcome to you with us today. And also Reverend Colin Pye, who's going to be leading our service today. So Colin, we're going to hand over to you now. Now, he's going to share his screen, so I will stop sharing mine, and he will start sharing his. So, here we go.
It's all mod cons these days, isn't it? All this stuff.
Yeah.
Let me do that and that. And then that. Oh, there we go. So, great to be with you this morning. I was really sorry to hear about Norma. It's always hard when one of our long-standing faithful folk dies, isn't it? So we think of her this morning. We also think of all mums. I checked up online what Mothering Sunday was all about. Apparently, it's always on the fourth Sunday of Lent. And originally it was when people used to return to their mother church for something called Latare Sunday. And while doing that, they would quite often meet with their mothers and other family members in celebration. But as has happened with a lot of things, these things have changed, and Mothering Sunday tends to have become something much more akin to Mother's Day from the United States. But it's a great thing to celebrate mums, isn't it? There's a scripture that says, "Come worship the God who said, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. As a mother who comforts her child, so I will comfort you." So we quite often think of God as father, but God, of course, is as much mother as father to us. And I thought we would start with a lovely hymn that we will all recognise. So sing along in your own homes.
Little flower that opens, each little cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, God made them every one. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. God gave us eyes to see.
We're going to, those of you that can see, we're going to see some images from somewhere that you might recognize. Those of you on the phone won't be able to see this, but you'll be able to hear it. We're just going to still our hearts at the start of this service and allow the peace of Christ to fill us. Oh, don't want that. In the stillness and the quietness at the beginning of this service, we allow the peace of God to wash over us. And on this Mothering Sunday, we ponder the word mother and how we respond to it. With thankfulness, perhaps, or sadness, with a sense of wonder and joy, or regrets or loss. We thank you that woven into the story of the scriptures is the thought that you are not only our Heavenly Father, but our Mother as well, bringing tenderness and compassion, loving kindness and care to bear upon our lives and all of creation. And so we quieten anxious and weary hearts, and we remind ourselves that our lives and those that we love are in your hands, our Heavenly Parent, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And we often say together the Lord's Prayer, which begins, Our Father. But as we say that this prayer together, let's remind ourselves that it's talking about Mother as well. So let's join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, I've just done that, just prayed. Today, we're in Lent, and during Lent, we reflect, don't we, upon our journey, upon our spiritual journey, about how things are going for us as believers. And I want to tell you a little bit about my journey today, how I'm getting on, and it's going to be quite a testimony, I think, the way that I talk about things. I'm going to be reflecting upon the call of God upon each of our lives. And the first scripture we're going to look at is this one that comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21, the call of Elisha. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. And I love that idea of Elijah. He went up to him and threw his cloak around him as a way of saying, right, I want you to be to take over from me. I want you to be kind of like my disciple, and the time will come when he will take over from me. Now, one of the things that I've been doing on our Wednesday nights, I've been joining with a group of people from Matlock and other places around the country, this small group of 10 to 12 people. And we've been telling each other our life stories, and it's been totally brilliant. So every Wednesday night, two people would tell their story for about, I don't know, 10 to 20 minutes. And I found it a deeply moving experience. It really helped me to get to know people better. And I had to, a few weeks ago, I had to do my story. And I found it invigorating just looking back at my life and thinking about the journey that that I've been on. And I want us to explore the question today about our calling. As a way in, I want to tell you a little bit of my story. So are you sitting comfortably? Yeah? Then here we go. This is where I was born. I was born in High Barnet, in that's Greater London at the top, and it's at the end of the Northern Line, and that's my house, number 58 Manor Road. And behind, we used to have a park and some tennis courts, and I only now realise what a privilege that was, but we spent a lot of time playing up and down that path there. Lot of fun. This is my mum and dad. This was me aged, I don't know, what do you reckon, 3, 4, something like that. This is my brothers. This is my father. My father was an EastEnder, born in Wood Green. And, you know, during the war, he was nearly bombed, nearly killed with a bomb dropped on the next Anderson shelter along. He went on to become an engineer and a lecturer in injection mold design and plastics. He was at the South Bank Poly. And later on, this was my mum and dad, but they used to do old time musical stuff. And I thought about, what did I learn from my mum? I learned compassion from my mum. Wonder what you learned from your mum. She had a real care for the least. And my dad, I think I learned faithfulness and logic, I think. And my passions in life were football, football, football. You supported Barnet Football Club. I used to stand on the terraces there, used to play some beauty. I'm a particular fan of Chelsea. And back in the day, there was a guy called Charlie Cook who was on the right there, who was my hero. I was also a bit of a train spotter. And I went to Queen Elizabeth's Grammar School. This is me, probably aged about 12 or 13. It wasn't a great place for me. I struggled socially, struggled in terms of the education itself, didn't get on particularly well. But meanwhile, back I was part of an Anglican church. This was a Pathfinder group. It was a Sunday school type of thing. And then I found real life in Jesus at probably the age of 13, where we went, the right-hand corner, this is the Norfolk Broads. We went on a camp. And I found myself one night staring out at the universe saying, okay, let's do this. that I want to follow you. I heard that call to come follow me. A couple of years later, we went to the Keswick Convention, and that's me on the top. And the guy at the bottom is a guy called Jeff Holland, who had come along as the youth worker. He was a London City missioner, and he did a fantastic job among the young people and encouraged us all. My first job was at General Accident Fire and Life Assurance Corporation, where I worked in the claims department for 4 years. And this was my first car, which was a Cortina Mark II. And I can still remember the registration number. So that's me at about 19, I reckon. And about that time, that same man, Jeff Holland, decided it was time for him to go up. He was invited to go up to London to work for a mission hall in the West End of London. And essentially he said to me, come follow me. He invited me to go with him up to London, to give up my job in the insurance company, to go to work for £3 a week as a voluntary evangelist. And as I look back now, I think Jeff's invitation changed the whole course of my life. There I am at the age of 20, going up to London, and there I worked for the London City Mission. We did these sorts of premises here. We used to do door-to-door visiting there. A lot of the time we ran a mission hall with what we called in those days down and outs, homeless people. A lot were sort of had been affected profoundly by the war. And my first ever sermon was in a mission hall where I spoke in front of 100 or so of these guys and one woman, and a fight broke out in the middle of my first sermon, all over the one woman that was in the room. I don't know what was going on there. And this was the West End in those days. I can remember this occasion, The Empire Strikes Back was opening. And the very first talk I ever did was in Leicester Square, outside the Odeon that was at the top of this park. And I did a sketchboard where I painted stuff and told the stories. And I turned around and I had a couple of hundred people there, frightened the life out of me. But I was only 20 and it was extraordinary. And Jeff had set in motion something that wasn't going to stop. So I couldn't go back to insurance. I went to London Bible College. And when I was at London Bible College, I was assigned to a Baptist church. And there I am being baptized at the age, I suppose I was 21, something like that, in that little church there. We all have a story, is what I would say. We all, you know, that's a little bit of my story, but I wonder what your story is.
That's why.
Now we're going to do something that you've not done before. I've just told you a little bit of my story. And I guess there are many of you that would identify a little bit with my story. Someone who came alongside you, who encouraged you at some point in your life. And I wonder who that person was. Now, we're going to go into breakout groups. And I've got no idea how this works for people that are on the phone. Still coming.
Yeah, we'll come in, give
them a chance. Yeah. Now, I hope that was the little glimpses I had of people's stories were very, very encouraging to hear. I hope you had some good stories in yours. We're going to pray together now. And the way that we're going to pray is I'd like you to take your candle. I've got a...
What story can you give?
So if you've got a candle, don't worry if you haven't got a candle. And this is going to be open prayer. And if you want to pray, I'd like you to hold up your handle and set a candle and say a very short thing like, I light a light for X, Y, or Z. So it might be that somebody wants to pray for your mum or somebody you know that you're concerned, some national thing that you're concerned with. You know, the scenes yesterday from
and then you went on to
the police and everything like that. So let's pray together. Let's hold our candles. And I light a light for. So are we so we're all going to need to be quite quiet unless somebody raises their voice and says, I light a light for this. Are we ready? On your marks, get set, go. Let's pray.
I light the light for my family. Amen.
I'm holding a light today for all women hemmed in by domestic abuse, victims of domestic abuse at home, prisoners in their own home virtually.
I'd like to pray today especially for all of Norma's family, for her daughter Anne, the other children that I can't remember the names, and granddaughters Sarah and all of Norma's family that are grieving at this time.
It's Anne and John and David are Norma's children.
And Ross, the grandson.
Ross and Sarah, their grandchildren, yeah. Oh, and there's
Anne.
There's Sam, yeah, Sam is the older one.
I light a light today for all those who are lonely because of the lockdown and the pandemic, all those who are finding this time so difficult when they aren't able to have the social interaction with their friends and loved ones.
I'd like to pray for all our friends here in the fellowship at Kingsthorpe.
Light a candle for all those who have lost their loved ones through COVID.
I light a light for the children that have struggled so much with isolation and now I've had to go back to school and learn a new way, Lord.
Mm.
You go, Carol.
I light a light for all the young children in our church and all their families. And I pray for continued fellowship with them and reaching out to them and connecting with them. Amen.
I light a light, Lord, for all of those who have blessed us with stories of their faith and have brought us to love you, Jesus. And thank you. Amen.
I light a light for all the women who do not have children of their own, but are daily and on daily basis taking care of children that are not biologically theirs, nurturing them in the ways of the Lord, that God in His mercy will be with them and compensate them.
We light a light for our nation, And for our royal family at this time, who must be really struggling with everything.
And we light. Oh,
there you go.
Oh, sorry for that.
No, you go.
Okay, I would like to light a light for my family and all the members of our church. Thank you so much for making us feel so welcome and special. Thank you.
We light a light for the family of Sarah Everard, who was murdered this week, and for all those that have suffered similar situations that don't get in the news, that are just names to us. And we light a light for our world. Lord, may the light, your light, shine bright through all of your children, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if we can mute, we're going to listen to a song that just invites us to lay our burdens down.
Thank you.
Amen. From Matthew 4:18-22. And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. See, I found it fascinating looking back at life and reflecting upon the moments where I sensed that God was calling me. And sometimes to something new, sometimes just to stay faithful in the midst of the stuff of life. And I was thinking about the calling of Peter, and I thought he didn't just call him once, he called him a number of times. He said, come follow me and be my disciple, but it was much more than that. I think he was called to leadership. On this rock I will build my church. I'm not quite sure it means that, but again and again, I think Peter comes across as the man that's being called to leadership. He's called to be a pastor. If you remember when he denied Jesus, Jesus then walks with him and says, he restores him and he says, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, look after them. He's called to go and make disciples. And then an extraordinary episode in Acts chapter 10, he's called to think differently about Gentiles. Do you remember the story where the sheet comes down out of heaven with animals on and it says, kill and eat? And he was being invited to do things that were against his whole way of thinking, the way he'd grown up. Very interesting. I think we likewise are called to follow Jesus. There's a general call. 1 Corinthians 1 says this, brothers and sisters, think what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And I always think I'm a bit of a foolish thing, I'm a bit of a weak thing, and perhaps you are too. I think we've all been called in that way, but I also think that like Peter, we are called to the particular. When we function in that thing that God called us to, the ordinary that God made us for. And for most of us, this won't be in church. It will be we tend to focus on church, but actually most of us are called to do stuff in the world, ordinary stuff of life, whether it's work, home, with your hobby or whatever it might be. My experience is also that we have seasons of calling. And I would say I've sensed various times in my life when God's called me to something fresh. And I'm just going to quickly share some of those things with you. So I was called as a teenager, 13, to follow Jesus. Then I was called by Jeff, really, the Lord called me to go up to London. And following, I had got married and was driving a van. And I was going to this church in Northolt. Northolt was kind of like a post-war dumping ground at this, you know, where from the East End, that a lot of families that made homeless, one of the places they put them was Northolt. And we were part of this church here. And the minister that was there at the time left, was about to leave. And I put up my hand and I said, well, I've been trained at Bible College. Do you want to think about me as a pastor? And the person that was a regional minister like me from London came along and said, I'm not sure you could do that because he's not an accredited minister. But that was like a red rag to the bull, and they said, no, we want you. So this, here we are. Look at these young kids here. Young kids we were. And it's a church that took a risk on us. And these were the Northolt years, and they were good times and hard times, but they were always learning times. And I learned so much during those years. I didn't know what I was doing. I remember becoming a minister and waking up the next morning and thinking, well, I don't know what a minister does, so I better find out what a minister does. So that was my journey. And I had a sense that this, I was being called and I was following that calling. And like many of us, we've had a calling, but to be a father and a mother. And I think that's, you know, that calling's too strong. We were just following the way that life was leading us. But one of the most profound times for me was to continue to follow Jesus through the dark times. My mum died when I was about 35, 36. I'd been a pastor for about 7 years, and it shook me to my core, I think. And I think at that point, my thinking changed virtually overnight, really. I lost my Father Christmas view of God. I thought God was going to sort everything out, and I prayed and prayed for Mum, and he didn't sort it all out. And I didn't lose my faith, but my faith changed at that point. And I think there was a call, and we all know this, don't we, as we go through that valley of the shadow of death, that God is faithful, but he doesn't necessarily take away the pain. And we have to go through that valley. And we come out different people, I think. And then at the age, as Mum was dying, I'd sensed that God was calling us on. I wanted to do a more music ministry as alongside pastoral ministry. And I looked at this picture and I thought, Colin, what did you do? Because I resigned without having anywhere to go. And it was madness looking back at these little ones here. But I resigned, and somehow or other God sorted it out. And, you know, God had a plan for us, that's all I can say, and is that he was saying, come follow us on a new adventure. And he called us to a different church in this beautiful place called Little Kings Hill, where we spent the next 18 and a half years. And during that time, I had a season of, I'd call 10 years of children's ministry, extraordinary stuff. With this was local churches together groups, had a tent ministry at times, but there was a moment where we had 2,000 children in that tent plus all the helpers. And I would say that was a calling for a season. And as a church, we enjoyed great times for 15 years. I'd say it was great. And then towards the end of that time, I won't go into details, but somebody key died. And I think for 3 years, there was quite a significant decline. And I sensed that it was time to move on. They needed somebody else. And so we said our goodbyes to our family, much older. But we sensed that God hadn't finished with us yet. And so it turned out. Actually, I don't think he ever does finish with us. And then I became a regional minister with the Central Baptist Association. These are 150 churches. You're in there somewhere, one of those 150 churches. Somewhere there. And I look back, as I did this looking back at life, I look back with gratitude at the calling of God upon my life and how he'd led us into different callings, different seasons of calling over life. And he hasn't finished with us yet, because I believe I look forward, and I think there's always a hope into future. My point is that the call of God comes to us a number of times and in many different ways over the course of our lives. That's what I think. I don't know if you agree with me. You feel free not to. I believe we all have a story. I've told you my story. You have a story too, and I encourage you, as a result of me telling you your story, go back over your story and just notice God's guiding hand. And this is where you need your bit of paper. I want you to write this down. I've got three questions for you. And this is for your homework, okay? This is your homework. Because Jesus still says, come follow me. And as I look back, this is first, number one. As I look back, do I notice seasons in my own life? There's somebody very sophisticated there taking a picture. Very good. That's the way to do it, isn't it? I do that. So the first question is, as I look back, do I notice seasons in my own life? Second question, what is my calling today? That was then, all of that back in the past. But what is my calling today? And perhaps perhaps it is to encourage someone else as others have encouraged you. Might be to be a good neighbour. It might be to engage in your work situation with compassion and love and support. Also, what is my calling today and in the near future? And then a significant question that goes beyond the personal, but to you as a church. What is our calling as we look to the future? What does the next season look like for us as a church? Now, I know you've been talking about this for ages. I've had conversations with you. And it's still out there, isn't it? The two churches and how they worked, all of that sort of stuff. But God, that you've had seasons of life as a church in the past. And as you look back, you can see that. And that might be a helpful exercise to give thanks to God for the past. But you're here now and looking forward. What is your calling now? I take courage from Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. I take courage from that, the thought that God hasn't finished with me yet, and I'm pretty certain he hasn't finished with you yet. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a force!
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry about the end there. Going to have a blessing together. I love this Celtic breath blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll start again. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think we can say the grace together, aren't we?
Yeah.
And may the grace
of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all,
evermore.
Amen. Amen. What a lovely cacophony to end with.
Thank you very much, Colin, for bringing that message to us today. It's given us an awful lot to think about and consider. And thank you very much for that. I've got a couple of notices for everybody. The first is that next Sunday morning is our normal Zoom service again, but it will also be including communion. We're having our virtual communion service next Sunday morning, as it is the third Sunday in the month. So please make sure you have your bread and wine with you so we can partake of communion next week. And we have our prayer meetings at 11 on Monday, Wednesday and Friday as usual this week. Now, are there any others who want to say anything? Carol, did you want to just let us have a little bit of news from King's Kids today? You had your meeting, did it go well?
Well, we did, yes, thank you. We had a baby competition this morning. So during the week, people have sent us pictures of themselves as babies. And do you know what? It was the cutest competition you could ever want to have. We have some gorgeous babies in from our young people and our leaders, I have to say. We had some cute leaders as well as babies. So, yeah, it was lovely. We just celebrated our mothers today. And Paul, where is he? I can't see him. Paul came and shared he back on track. Some of you would have done it with the Baptist Church a few weeks ago. And thank you for that, Paul. It was a nice message. Thank you.
Hey, Lois, you've got a competition running, haven't you? Do you want to say something about that?
Haven't you? The competition.
That's the Mother's Day quiz. So the you have one more day to get your entries in if you haven't already got them in. So tomorrow will be the final day. And then on Tuesday, we'll be able to look at the entries and see if we've got a clear winner or if we need to be drawing names from a hat. So watch this space and you will find out who has won.
Okay. Thank you, Lois. And something from Trevor.
I think everybody knows now that unfortunately the Methodists are not able to meet at the pastures on Easter Sunday as we'd hoped to do. It was this time last week when I said that we would be meeting there, and within minutes of that, I received an email from the management of the Pastures Community Centre saying that they'd studied the regulations very closely, and what we weren't aware of is that the rules regarding worship in a community centre is different from worship in somewhere that's dedicated as a church, and that had caught us out. But we are still hopeful that we'll be able to meet there on the first Sunday in May.
Okay. But reminds us that we're all joining together then on our for a Zoom Easter service on the on Easter Day, and everybody needs to get their song recording into Sandra. Do you want to say something again at the end of the service in case anybody wasn't here and listening at the start, Sandra?
Well, just get your recordings in. Any problems, you've got my mobile number on the email. You know, just contact me and I'll help you.
Yeah. Okay. And does anybody else have any notices for us? You do? Wave? If not, thanks again once more, Colin, for a lovely service this morning.
Thank you very much.
Let us all go
and
enjoy Mother's
Day.
Bye.
Bye, Daisy.
Hi.